It's a wonderful opportunity that we have to see a young couple dedicated to the Lord who desire to go to the place of God's appointing, that they may serve for the rest of their days the God whom they worship and love. It's a great privilege to be able to help them in their endeavors. This message tonight deals with a missionary sending. In Matthew chapter 28, the concluding paragraph of that chapter, no less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, sends his apostles to accomplish a missionary purpose. In Matthew 28:16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, this text is an extremely important one, because it is spoken by the Lord himself, and it is a command to go. All missionaries, all Christian workers, must consider such a text when they feel that God is sending them to a place of service, wherever that might be. And I want us to examine what the Lord says here. Look at it very carefully, because the service of all of us is linked to this specific command. In verse 18, the Lord says, all power. That word power is the word exousia. It is the word authority. All authority rests in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just the power to do something. The Lord had that. He could heal the sick, raise the dead. There was no question about that. But he's talking here about authority, divine authority, the authority to tell a Christian worker, go here, not there. And that is his authority. It is absolute and supreme. No Christian worker enters the ministry right, advisedly, when he just says, I want to go here and here's where I'm going. And no, the first step is, Lord, where wilt thou have me to go? What is the place of my service? Lord, guide me there. That is the first step. Many times Christians will decide that they want to go here, there, or yonder and do this, that, or the other because it's a nice idea. There's a big question mark. What is God's will concerning that idea? Is this really his choice? Everyone must settle that question first. God doesn't use volunteers who just go off on their own and do whatever they want to. He uses servants who ask him how to serve and where to serve and what they shall do in serving and listen for instructions. He does give it. And that is a missionary call. Ben and Di Kwok have not just simply wanted to go to a certain place because it's familiar or they feel drawn to it emotionally. They asked the Lord where he would have them serve. And he guided their steps. And he has given them direction. And now they are going to a place that waits for them. Now, God prepares such a place. And that is one of the great assurances of the missionary endeavor. You do not go blindly, you go obediently. You do not go just for sheer grit and determination. You go because God is putting you there, guiding your steps there, and intends to use you there to His glory. So, the first step in any missionary call is the recognition that all authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And no pastor has the authority to start a church. And no missionary has the authority to start a mission work. All such authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who must settle all these questions. Now, every Christian worker needs this sense of authority, that he is doing what he is doing, not just because it comes easy or he thinks this is right, but because he is sure that God has guided his steps and led him to that place and those opportunities and the people that he is seeking to reach, and it is God's will that they be there. This is what keeps missionaries on the field. This is what keeps pastors in a church. This is what keeps Christian workers at the work. The sense of the authority of Christ. It is His will. It is His purpose. And they are sure. Now, the marching orders are always the Scriptures. It is the Word that tells us to go. It is the Word that commands us to reach all nations. And this book is our foundation. This book must be your constant companion. And this book is your source of inspiration and strength and courage and every other virtue that you will need. It comes from the pages of this powerful, inspired Word of God. All authority is given unto me. Every time you need direction, ask the Lord. Every time that a door is open and you wonder, shall we go through this, ask the Lord. His will should determine everything. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word go is a participle. It could be literally translated having gone. The emphasis here does not fall on the going. That's a natural thing. If God wants you somewhere, you go. But this is having gone, having taken whatever steps necessary to reach the area that God is calling you to, having done the logistics of getting there, and now you are prepared to do something for the Lord. And so every missionary, every pastor, every Christian worker must take that step of following what the Lord's will is in going to the right spot, the right area, so that they may do what God's will is to serve. Having gone, therefore, now that assumes travel. Whatever is necessary. For some people, it's simply across town. For others, it's in another state. For others, it's in a different country. For some, it's across an ocean. But the important thing is, it is God's will. And you are sure that He desires that as your service. So, having gone, having taken whatever steps are necessary, now you put yourself in the place of opportunity, the opportunity of fulfilling God's wishes, of accomplishing the service that He intends, of going to that place of His appointment and serving as He directs. That's extremely important for all of us, to go to that exact place where God wants us. If you go anywhere else, you will miss the opportunity that He has prepared for you. And that goes for all Christian work. For any person who just decides, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this, and they don't ask the Lord, it may be a catastrophe. But when you find the Lord's guidance, and you seek His face, and walk humbly with Him, seeking to please Him, and He gives you the green light, this is the way, walk ye in it, then there's great serene peace that comes, knowing that you are following His pathway, following obediently the direction that He leads, going to a place where He has already prepared for you. Now, that is one of the great blessings of Christian service and the Christian life. When a believer takes a step in obedience to God's direction, he always finds that he is in a place that God has prepared for him. And there are people there waiting for his ministry. There are opportunities there waiting. Why? Because God arranges it this way. The door is open. It is his door, and you may go through it. Now, there are countless Christian workers who have taken upon themselves to call themselves to a field and to choose for themselves a place that they think is a good one. And they make the mistake of not asking the Lord about it. And I have talked to young ministerial students. And they've gone to a place. And they've labored there and knocked on doors and struggled. And nothing has happened. And they wonder why. Well, you don't just pick a place and say, well, here I am. Some try that. It's not recommended. Everything begins with prayer. The apostolic company didn't just start out in Jerusalem knocking on doors. They started out in an upper room praying. They asked for guidance. They asked for help. They asked for power. God gave them all they asked for and a great deal more that they didn't expect. And so the Christian service is this way. When you go in God's direction, in God's timing, to God's place, it is a prepared place. There are people there waiting for you. They may not know it. But you are an answer to prayer for someone. So, go. Having taken all steps necessary, now the next step is make disciples of all nations. That word teach is the word literally to make disciples. You are not going just to inform people. You're not going to go there just to tell them this is what this verse means and this is how the Christian life ought to be lived. No, you are going to make disciples of them, to make followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the process of this, you will be teaching them many things. You will be opening up the Word and expounding it to them. You'll be telling them this is what Scripture says. But the important thing is, you are going to make them a disciple of the Lord, the way you are. And that means you must be the kind of disciple that they can recognize as one who bases everything upon Scripture, one who follows the Word, one whose whole life and ministry centers around the book. That is extremely important that they can see that in you. And friends, for many of you sitting here, you are Christians. You are quite certain of it. Could someone walk into your home and not realize that you're a Christian? Do you have a Christian home? Is there a Bible that's visible there? Are there scripture verses on the wall that would tell people that you know something about that book? Friends, for all of us, we are missionaries in some sense. People are watching us for indications of who we are and what we serve. For a missionary, it is vital that your life radiates reverence for God's holy word. Everyone needs to know that that book is the most important thing that you have. friends, all of us need to convey that message. This Bible is just not an accessory. It is the book that organizes our lives, that directs our pathway, that causes us to serve God. This book is the most important thing we have. Everyone who knows you needs to know that. Now, when you go to Australia, you're going to a place where there's tremendous ethnic diversity. There are all kinds of people there. They all need the message you have. They all need to learn about the one who died for their sins, that they might find eternal life through him. And it doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what culture they come from. This gospel of the kingdom transcends all boundaries and all nations and all races. It is a message for the ages. All need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. All need to come to obedience to him. And that is the message that you must bring for them. Make disciples of all nations. Doesn't matter who they are. They need to hear this word. They need to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, the problem you're going to face is one that can be found everywhere. Those people don't know they need him. And for many of them, they couldn't care less. Now, we are all surrounded by people like this. But they need to learn what you have learned, that this book is the word of the living God, that this book can transform lives. It can change a sinner into a saint. They need to see it in you. They need to hear about the word through you. Now, some of them won't care, and this will be a burden for you. But at the very least, they need to learn that you care. Care deeply about them and their eternal salvation. But this book is everything. This book is going to be the means that you use to win souls to Christ, opening up the scriptures and showing them the word. This book is what you're going to use to plant churches. This is what is done that builds a congregation of saints who love the Lord and stand for the truth. This book is everything. Now, it is interesting that all authority is given to the Lord Jesus. And whatever the problems you face, whatever the needs of the people that you are confronted with, the authority is in him. He is the one who can direct your words, give you the messages that you need to accomplish his purpose in the hearts and lives of those people that you are trying to reach with the word. You must draw all your strength from him. There is no other source. Jesus has the authority to bring souls to himself. You want to win souls? Ask the Lord Jesus Christ for them. You want to plant a church for him? Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to plant that church. He has the authority to accomplish these things. You don't. Everything you do must be in keeping with his word, drawing your authority from him, accomplishing his purpose, letting his word triumph in your lives and in the lives of those you minister to. When you go to a new field, you have to ask him, where are the people that I should be talking to? Who are these people? Ask him for an introduction. He knows where they are. He can bring them to your attention. Don't just go hunting. And that doesn't mean you aren't looking for people. Ask Him to guide your steps. Ask Him to lead you to the right ones. He knows who they are. He knows who's convicted. He knows who's looking for help. And you won't know that. Always begin with Him. Ask Him. Seek to plant a missionary-minded church. Some pastors plant a church that is ingrown. Their be-all and end-all is their own existence. They're glad to have a little fellowship of saints that they can enjoy, and that's as far as they're thinking. Plant a church that reaches out. A missionary-minded church to the community around. Yes, to the state around them. And on to the mission field. The best mission churches are always churches that are themselves missionary-minded churches planting other mission churches. The church that decides it is the be-all and end-all of their existence begins to wither. We all need the missionary outreach, the sense that there's more out there waiting to hear, and we must help them hear. We must help others to plant churches. So, word of advice, you plant your own church. Yes, the Lord will do that for you. Be a church planting church. Get others started. Send out missionaries. It's important that the word spread from you and not stays just there. In verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This implies teaching about the meaning of baptism. It is not a magical baptismal regeneration that suddenly makes a person a Christian. It is rather an identification of that individual with the will of God and the Word of God. It is an outward confession of what is in the heart. Now, you need to lead people to a deeper understanding of God. And that means you have to explain to them what baptism is all about. You have to explain to them what the doctrines of the faith really mean. You've got to instruct them. Now, specifically, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that's the doctrine of the Trinity. That's a profound truth. A lot of people think, well, that's kind of far down the pathway. I don't think so. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are in the basic verses of John's Gospel that's used all the time for witnessing purposes. This is the nature of God. And many of the people you're ministering to are not going to understand God. They won't have the right understanding of who He is. To some people, God is a block being, and it's some mystery why He would love people. But God is not that way. He is a Trinity. There is an internal, loving relationship within God. And that means to love is integral in the nature of God. He is always loved because Father, Son, and Spirit have from eternity had a loving relationship. So how logical that He should create others and desire to love them and incorporate them into this loving relationship, which is why all of us are saved who are saved. If we did not have a God who loved this way, we would never have heard of Him, and we would not be saved ourselves. But He loves us, and that love that He has had within His being, He shares with others. It flows out into the hearts of other people, and you have the joy and privilege of telling others about this love of God that reaches out to rescue the lost and bring them into fellowship with Himself. what a precious privilege that is. But the doctrine of the Trinity is theology. And that means you're going to be teaching theology. Oh, not in a dry and dusty sense of that term, I hope, but in the living sense of that, that the nature of God, the nature of salvation, the loving gospel that God has given to people, this is your joy and privilege to explain to others, to teach others what the great doctrines of the faith really mean. What a marvelous privilege. And that loving fellowship within the deity is the basis for the loving fellowship in a church. We love one another because he first loved us. And we are reflecting that love that we see in him. That is the love of God. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them. Yes, it is our responsibility to teach people the truth of God's holy word, to explain to people what the great doctrines of the faith are, and make clear to them the teaching of this holy book. You must declare the whole counsel of God. Now, there are some churches that are content with just the bare bones of very simple things. But no, there are profound truths in Scripture. They are just as necessary as the simple ones. To declare the whole counsel of God is our purpose. We're explaining to others what his revelation to us truly is, and to teach them to be obedient to all things that he has commanded. Every aspect of our life must draw its justification from what the Word says. We don't just live however we please. We live to please him. We don't just believe whatever we want to. We believe what his Word teaches us. And our life is based upon this book and upon what it encourages in our lives. And you have to instruct them in this book. And that means you have a responsibility in ministering to people to make clear the teaching of this book. Plan on preaching through every one of the 66 books of God's holy word. Plan on preaching the great doctrines of the faith, carrying your people through the doctrines of salvation and redemption and faith. There are so many truths that are found all through the Scriptures, and you must have the joy and responsibility of finding those doctrines, tracing them out for people, and carrying them through the mighty truths of God's holy word. You also have the responsibility of determining the needs of your people, of finding out where their burdens are, where their troubles lie, where their questions about Scripture lie, and of answering those questions and showing them how God's Word lifts those burdens and solves those problems. And it's a wonderful privilege to be able to open up this blessed book and show people this is what the Word says. Here is the solution to that problem. It is such a blessing both to the one who shows them and to the one who sees for the first time the precious truths in God's holy word. Now, there's a promise here. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the age. He is never going to abandon you. He is never going to forget about you. He is with you every step of the pathway, the hard places and the happy places. He is always with you, and you must recognize that presence. That is what will keep you going. When the attacks come, he is there. That will keep you going when the sorrows arise. They will. He is there. That will be part of your joy on the happy occasions. He is there. He is never going to abandon you. He is never going to leave you. And you can be sure of that. He's given you a solemn promise. There is no pathway that you have to walk but what He is there with you. His strength, His grace is sufficient for you. You must remember that. You will need it. My friends, He is with every saint all the way to the consummation of the age. He is not going to abandon you somewhere partially there. He intends to bring every sheep into His fold. He is going to bring your sheep, those that you will minister to, those that you struggle for. He is going to bring them also by His mighty power into that gracious fold of redemption. This is a glorious privilege and a solemn responsibility. Your ministry must be a powerful one because it is His. Your ministry must be a kindly one because He is. Your ministry must be a doctrinally correct one, for He is the truth. There is no error in Him. Your ministry can be all He wants it to be if you will let Him work through you and use His word to accomplish His will in your life, the lives of the people you minister to, the lives of the people you witness to. And many of them you will never know in this life whether they heard or not, but He will know. And many of the words you utter will bear fruit years later. You must be patient. Go into all the world. You can hardly go farther in this world than you are going around this globe. But that is His place for you. And it's a prepared place. It's a blessed place in the center of His will, where He can use you as He desires to accomplish an eternal purpose. And all of us can share in such a ministry by praying for you. And I hope the whole congregation recognizes that. You too can have influence in Australia by praying for the workers who are there. All of us must remember that. The Lord Jesus, in this paragraph, gives us the marching orders. In His army, we are soldiers. And we go in obedience to His orders. And we serve as He commands. The results are in His hands. Never think that because you don't see outward results quickly, that all is lost. He does not always work quickly, but He works. And you must have the patience to let Him accomplish His work through you. It is not a hurry-up job. It is giving yourself to His purpose, His place, His people, and letting Him do it. He will. He will accomplish more than you can dream. But what is marvelous is that all the results of the service, whether here in this congregation or in Australia in another congregation, all the results of the proclamation of the book are going to be there in that glorious city to come, where every saved saint, every individual who trusts Christ for salvation is going to be there. And the veil will be lifted, and we will know them all. Even people that you have never met, people perhaps that you have prayed for in other places, you'll know them all, and they will all know you. It's a glorious ministry, a wonderful privilege that only He can accomplish. And He is the one that we commit you to. The Lord Jesus desires to use your labors to His glory. And we pray to that end that God may indeed use you to to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for Ben and Di. We thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy and blessing that rests upon them. And we pray that Thou wilt set before them an open door, that they may go with Thy blessing to accomplish Thy purpose and to be a strength and an encouragement to Thy people. We ask for souls, that they may have the joy of seeing people come to Thee. We ask for a strong church from their ministries, that Thy presence will be in that church, and the people there will be obedient to Thee and serve Thee from the heart. We pray that Thou wilt accomplish all that Thou dost desire through them, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified and praised for all the ages to come. For we pray in His name. Amen.